Father, as we stand here at the very beginning of a new year, Lord, that I know is what our heart's cry should be, God, that we would magnify your Son, that we would lift him up, Lord, that more and more people would know about him through the lives that we live and through the words that we speak, God, that everything we do and everything we say would be reflect an example of who he is and what he means to us, God. And so, Father, as we come before you at the beginning of this new year, uncertain of what lay in store, Father, God, would we know that it's not our responsibility, as we'll talk about today, it's not our responsibility to figure out all that's going to happen over the course of this year, God. Our responsibility is to know and obey your word, Lord. Our responsibility is to trust in you, God, and we know that you will take care of anything and everything else that comes our way, Father. And God, as we now get the opportunity at the beginning of this year to turn our attention to your word and see the amazing truths it would speak to us, Lord, I just pray that you would, God, you allow your presence to be known in this place, Father. I pray that your spirit would speak through me, God. I pray that he would take these words, Lord, and that he would apply the truths that are spoken here today to our hearts so that we could leave inspired, encouraged, challenged, Lord, everything you want us to get out of today's message, Father. We ask for you to do that, Lord. And we thank you in advance for the work that you're going to do. We love you, Father. We thank you. And we ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can go ahead and have a seat. Happy New Year, everybody. My name is Chris Ward. I am one of the pastors on staff here. And I got to say, it's just so good to be with you here at the beginning of the new year. I want to thank those of you who sent me some well wishes at the end of last year. If you're here at the end of last year, you know that right before Christmas, I was supposed to teach. And Friday night and Saturday morning, I was just fighting an illness the entire time. It actually wasn't COVID. It was some other weird thing that I had. But I was out. And so Saturday morning, finally, I realized I was not going to be able to teach that weekend. And so I texted Matthew and I said, Matthew, I'm so sorry. First time in 10 years this has happened, but I'm not going to be able to speak this weekend. And Matthew was so gracious. He said, yeah, absolutely, Chris, no problem. I got it this weekend. And then he also said this. He said, by the way, this means that you have to preach January 2nd. So there you go. But you know what? I am happy to be able to preach here at the beginning of this new year. So hey, if you have your Bibles here today, I'd encourage you right now to grab them and turn to Revelation chapter 12, actually. Revelation chapter 12. Some of you are thinking, Revelation, are we really going there today? Well, a little bit. We're going to be in a couple of different places today, but we are going to start out in Revelation chapter 12. And as you find your place there, I was surfing the internet this past week, and I came across a post on the internet that made me chuckle a little bit because I thought it kind of speaks to our time right now, especially at the beginning of this new year. And so I wanted to share it with you because I thought maybe you would get a chuckle out of it too. Someone by the name of Hipster Mermaid, which is kind of an interesting handle, she said this. She said, all I want for 2022 is a precedented situation. All I want for 2022 is a precedented situation. Show of hands, how many of you are tired of unprecedented situations? Yeah, most of us, right? All I want for 2022 is a precedented situation. You know, it goes without saying, brothers and sisters, but we do continue to live in just some really, really crazy times. It is amazing to me, and I'm sure it's amazing to many of you as well, just how quickly our world has changed over the course of the past 2 years. If you remember, it was exactly 2 years ago, it was January of 2020, that news began to first trickle out about this mysterious illness that was affecting what to many of us was a previously unknown city on the other side of the world. And I think it's safe to say that at that time, probably very few, if any of us, were all that worried about that illness. We had faced things like this before. It never seemed to affect us in the United States, but little did we know how wrong we were. Because in the span of about 2.5 months, we went into this worldwide lockdown, and we faced this worldwide pandemic that in many ways we are still facing here today. And I was thinking about it this past week, you know, that would have been enough, men and women. If the only thing that we had to face in the past 2 years was a worldwide pandemic, that would have been enough. But as I'm sure many of you realize, that's not the only thing that we have had to endure over the course of the past 24 months. There have been a number of other disruptive things that have come our way as well. We have, for example, over the past 2 years, faced economic unrest. We face political unrest, and unlike anything I've ever seen before in my lifetime. We've also, over the past 24 months, had new concerns about freedoms that we've never had before, religious freedoms, among other things. We've also, at various times over the past 2 years, found it difficult to procure the most essential items of life, toilet paper, paper towels, bleach. I even heard over the Christmas season it was hard to get candy canes, which is an absolute travesty. I just can't imagine that. We are in a world that has changed incredibly in just 2 years. And I think I speak for everybody here when I say that the change that we have seen over the course of the past 2 years has not been a change for the better. In fact, I was thinking about that this past week too. In an age when pretty much nobody can agree on anything, I think one thing that everybody can agree on is that the direction our world is headed in right now is not a good direction. And I want you to think just for a second about how ironic that is. You know, we are living in a time when we're as divided as we have ever been. There are as many groups and factions as there has ever been. And you would think, right, that at least someone would be happy in this season. At least someone would feel like they're getting their way in this time. But I don't think anybody is. I don't know if you came across the study that came out at the end of last year. There was a survey that was done. And according to this survey, 50% of Americans declared that 2021 was the worst year they ever had in their life. Now think about that just for a second, okay? 50% of Americans didn't just say that 2021 was a bad year. 50% of Americans said that 2021 was the worst year that they ever had before. In a time when practically nobody can agree on anything, everybody is shaking hands right now, metaphorically speaking, since we're not supposed to shake hands anymore, but everybody is shaking hands right now on the fact that our world is going into a very concerning direction. But that is, of course, where the agreement ends, because there is a lot of disagreement in this season. And where the disagreement begins is when people try to figure out who is to blame for all that's going on right now. And it's when you get to this conversation that the same old divisions and the same old arguments surface. You have, for example, the Republicans in Congress right now blaming the Democrats in Congress for the way the world is headed. You have the Democrats in turn blaming the Republicans. You have non-religious people who are blaming religious people right now for all that's going on. You have religious people who are blaming non-religious people. You have parents right now who are upset at school boards, and school boards who are upset at politicians, and politicians who are upset at unions, and round and round and round it goes. Pretty much everybody can agree that our world is headed in a troubling direction. But no one can agree who is responsible for it. Who is responsible for all the troubling stuff that's going on around us right now? Well, at the risk of oversimplification, men and women, I think the answer to that question is really, really clear. And I think the answer to that question is given to us in Revelation chapter 12. I want you to pick it up with me in verse 9. We'll also have this verse on the screen. Look at what it says here, Revelation 12, 9. It says, "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him." Now jump down to verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you." And here's the key phrase. "He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. And there you have it. Who is to blame for all that's going on around us right now? It's the devil. It's Satan. It's our enemy. As it says in this passage, he has been thrown down to this earth, and he is livid because he knows he's on borrowed time. He knows that his time is short. Now, I do need to let you know, for full disclosure, there is a little bit of debate among scholars as to when the events of Revelation chapter 12 take place and when this throwing down of Satan to this earth occurs. Some scholars believe that it occurred at some point in the past, that this is describing something maybe that happened at creation or even the first Christmas, Jesus' birth or Jesus' crucifixion. Still, other scholars believe that the events of Revelation chapter 12 describe sometime in the future, at or near the end of time. But what I want to let you know is, regardless of when the events of Revelation 12 take place, the principle is still the same. As the Bible makes clear over and over and over again, we have an enemy, the devil, Satan, this fallen angel who opposes God and everything that God stands for and everything that God has created. And this enemy, he knows that his days are numbered. Because the Bible tells us that there is coming a day when Jesus will return to this earth. And when Jesus returns to this earth, one of the first things that Jesus is going to do is he's going to do away with the enemy. He's going to judge the enemy. And whether the return of Jesus, whether it's 10 years away or 100 years away or 1,000 years away, however far away it is, the reality is we are closer to that moment right now than we have ever been. And Satan knows that. And he knows that he only has so long left to wreak havoc on this earth before he himself faces the judgment of God. And so like a disgruntled employee who is on his way out from a company but wants to take the company down with him before he leaves, before the return of Jesus, Satan is doing everything he can to cause disruption and to destroy everything in his wake. And that is what we are seeing right now. In fact, there is one being who is happy with the direction that things are going right now. There is one being who would probably say that 2021 was the best year that they ever had on record. And that's the enemy. He's having a field day right now. But we do need to remember that his end is coming. You know, one of the dangers whenever you begin to talk about Satan is that there's a false impression that can begin to form in people's mind. And that is that the idea that the world works like a giant chessboard. And you have God on one side and you have Satan on the other side, and they're sort of equally matched opponents and they're duking it out, and we have to sort of sit here on the earth biting our nails to figure out who is going to win. Well, I want to let you know nothing could be further from the truth. God and Satan are not equally matched opponents. In fact, turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation 20 now, just a few chapters later. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 describes some events that occurs right after Jesus returns to this earth. And we're told that after Jesus returned to this earth, Satan and all his forces, they're going to try to mount one final battle against God and God's people. And I want you to see how this battle is described. Verse 9 of Revelation chapter 20, it says this. It says, they, meaning Satan and his forces, it says, they marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. Now that sounds scary, right? But look at what it says next. It says, but fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And you see what's going on there. Satan is not able to mount a battle against God any more than an ant is able to mount a battle against your shoe when you step on it, okay? God has more power in his pinky fingernail than Satan and all his forces combined. And although God does allow Satan to have an influence on this earth for a period of time, although God does allow Satan to wreak havoc for a season, when God decides that Satan is done, he's done. No question about it. And we are closer to that event right now than we have ever been. And that is what leads me to what I really want to talk about today. Yes, you heard me right. Everything I just said was the introduction to my message. I've decided that now I'm 40, I'm going to do whatever I want. And so I'm going to start preaching here for 90 minutes on a weekend. I hope that's okay. No, I'm just kidding. Same amount of time. But I do want to lay that groundwork for today. Because today we're beginning a brand new sermon series that is all designed to answer what I think is the most important question that we can answer in this changing world in which we are in. And that is the question of, okay, how then should we live? How then should we live? And what I mean by that is this. Listen, in light of the present reality of our current situation, and that's everything I just talked about, the fact that there is an enemy, that he is real, that he is angry, and he is getting angrier, and that he knows that his time is limited, and so he is doing everything he can to cause violence and dissension and strife and so on. In light of that reality, but in light of the reality that we also know that God is in charge, that God is sovereign, he is on his throne, he will return to this earth, and when he does, Satan is going to be done away with. As we live in this in-between time, how do we respond? What do we do? What truths do we need to lay a hold of? And what attitudes should mark our perspective in this time? How, then, do we live? Well, there is a book in our Bible that I think speaks so well to the time that we're in right now. And it's found in our Old Testament. If you're still following along in your Bibles, now I'd encourage you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, okay? Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, just so you know, is the sixth book of the Bible. It goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to be for the rest of our time here today. And for the next several weeks, what we're going to be doing here at Friends Church is we're going to be taking a look at the first few chapters of the book of Joshua. And the reason why we've chosen the book of Joshua is because we see some incredible parallels between what God's people were going through in Joshua's day and what we are facing today. You see, the book of Joshua was written as a book that's all about how God's people navigated the most difficult season in their life up until that point. If you don't know anything about the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua was written right as the Israelites were on the cusp of inhabiting the land of Israel, this land that God had promised to give them hundreds of years earlier. And the book of Joshua is all about how the Israelites took possession of that land. But as we'll see over the next several weeks, fully taking possession of the land of Israel, fully inhabiting the land of Israel, from a human perspective, it was no small task. And the reason why is because the land of Israel at this time, that the Israelites were about ready to head into it, it wasn't empty. It was full of other people, of other nations, most of whom were far more powerful, far more sophisticated, far more militaristically capable than the Israelite people could ever hope to be. Yet by the end of this book, as we'll see, they inhabit this land. And so really what the book of Joshua is about, it's about how God's people do the impossible. It's about how these ragtag group of people drive out these enemies who are far more powerful than them and take possession of their land. And that's why I think this book speaks so much to us as we begin this new year. With all this uncertainty in front of us, with potential challenges around every corner. And what Joshua really does for us is it speaks so much hope and it speaks so much encouragement to where we are in this time. And so that's why it's a great book for us to go through at the beginning of 2022 here. And today, as we begin looking at the book of Joshua, we're just going to look at the first 9 verses of the book of Joshua, which is the introduction. But the verses we're looking at today, they are loaded verses. In fact, there are a few books of the Bible that begin as powerfully as the book of Joshua does. And there's a reason why it begins this way. You know, as you can imagine, as God's people are about ready to enter into the promised land, they're really scared. In fact, if you know your Bibles, you know that 40 years earlier, they had tried to enter the promised land. But they chickened out because of the enemies that were in the land. Well, listen, in the span of 40 years, nothing's changed. The enemies that are in the land are even worse than they were 40 years earlier. And so they're scared, and their fear has the potential to paralyze them, and God knows that. And so as God begins this book of Joshua, as the Israelites are about ready to head into the promised land, what God does is he addresses this fear head on. And what we find in the first 9 verses is a few truths that I think are so applicable to us today. And I'm going to unfold these to you in the time that we have as we look through these verses. Let's begin in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1, okay? The first truth is found in the first 4 verses here, and this is what it says. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And we'll stop right there. And there we find the first truth that God gives us in the book of Joshua, and that is this. It's that he is in charge. It's that no matter what the God's people face, he is in charge. And that's what we see here. You know, Joshua begins with a little bit of an interesting detail. We're told at the very beginning of this book that Moses has died. You see that right there at the beginning of verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And that may not seem like that big of a deal to us, but that was very, very big deal to the Israelite people. You see, up until this point, the Israelite people had only known one leader, and that was Moses. And although Moses wasn't perfect, and although Moses had his flaws just like everybody else, Moses was a pretty good leader, and he had led the Israelites through some difficult seasons. Well, now, as the Israelites are about ready to face their biggest challenge yet, what does Moses do? He kicks the bucket. He dies. Talk about an inconvenient time to die, right? And now it's up to a new leader, a man by the name of Joshua, to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And you can imagine how this would have added to the fear of the Israelites. They were fearful entering the promised land, even with Moses as their leader. But now they have to enter the promised land with a brand new leader, with an untested leader. And you can imagine how scared Joshua is. Am I really up to the task? Can I really do this? And that's why what God says here in the first four verses of Joshua is so interesting, because as you read through the first four verses of Joshua 1 here, one of the things that stands out to you is that there is no hint of concern in God's voice whatsoever. There's no hint of concern at all. In fact, even though the land of Israel is filled with enemies at this particular point, even though Joshua is an untested leader at this particular point, as you look at the first four verses here, you will see that God talks about the land of Israel as though the Israelites already have it. He makes it clear that their possession of it is a done deal. Now, how can God be so confident? The answer is clear. Because this is God's world. Because God's in charge. And if God decides that he wants something to happen, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter how many obstacles there are. It doesn't matter how untested the leaders are. When God decides that he wants something to happen, it is going to happen because he's in charge. And that's the first thing that I want us to remember as we head into this new year. A couple weeks before Christmas, I was having a conversation with a few people at a dinner, and we were talking, the topic of conversation turned to the subject of politics. And we were talking about the midterm election that I think is this year, and we were talking about the upcoming presidential election in a couple of years, and we were talking about all the different people who can run and all the different directions it can go. And I think I speak for the whole table when I say that there was sort of this air of concern that seemed to hang over the table as we were thinking about all the different directions that things could go in. And it was into that air of concern, I felt like God brought a couple of verses to my mind. And I know I've shared this with you before, but this is such an incredible passage of scripture, especially as we begin a new year. We'll put it on the beginning on the screen. It's Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And I want you to listen to what Daniel says here. He says, "Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. It says, he controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars." And I love that second sentence there. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. There you have it, brothers and sisters. You know, I have no idea what 2022 is going to bring us. I know that there are some pastors who are standing in front of their churches right now in the first weekend of the new year, and they're saying to the churches, this is going to be a breakthrough year. You know, this is going to be the best year we've ever had, and COVID's going to be behind us, and God has all these incredible things in store for us. And listen, you know what? That's a very encouraging message, but you know what that message also is? It's absolutely full of baloney, and I'm sorry for the harsh language in this first message of the new year, but it is. No one has any idea what's in store for this year. And if they think that they do, they're lying to you. I don't know what's in store for this year. This may be a year that's great. This may be a tough year. This may be a year that we put COVID behind us. This may be the year that something even worse than COVID comes. Think about that, right? But it may be. Who knows what's in store for us in this year? But no matter what happens this year, here's what I do know. It is a part of God's sovereign plan. And no matter what happens this year, everything that happens this year is moving us closer towards Revelation chapter 20, and it's moving us closer towards the return of Jesus and towards the ultimate demise of Satan. There is nothing that happens this year that isn't moving us closer towards that moment. So you know what that means? We don't have to worry about what's going to happen this year. We don't have to have it all figured out. Because God has it all figured out. No matter what happens, whether this year is good or whether it's bad, it's all a part of God's unfolding plan because he is in charge. And in the midst of this unfolding plan, God's made an incredible promise to us. And that's the second truth. It's the promise that he's with us. That no matter what, he's with us. That's what God says to Joshua in verse 5. Look there. God says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." No one's going to be able to stand against you, God says to Joshua. I was with Moses, I will be with you. And then I love the end of that. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And I love the Hebrew word that is translated forsake there. It's a word that originally meant to sink, as in the sinking of a ship. And really what God is saying to Joshua here is he's saying, Joshua, I'm not going to allow you to sink. No matter what happens, I'm not going to allow you to sink. The image that came to my mind as I thought about this is the image of being in the pool with my kids when they're learning how to swim. And you know, when kids are learning how to swim, they're not very good at first. And sometimes they take off more than they can chew, and they get too far away from the wall, and they run out of strength, and you begin to see them struggling a little bit. And if you're a parent and you see that, man, what do? You dive for your children, right? You do what you can to keep their head above water. You hold them as close as you can to your chest, right? That's what God does for us. Hebrews 13:5, God says the same thing to us. He says to Joshua, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, never will I leave you, never will I allow you to sink. And I think that's one of the greatest truths that we need to remember in this season. That no matter what this year has in store for us, God is with us because he cares about us and he's watching over us. As I was working on this message this past week, I came across an incredible example, illustration of this idea that God is with us. It was from a commentary on the book of Joshua that I read. And I want to read this story to you. This is what the author writes. He says, some time ago, I heard a fascinating story that brings home this truth about God's presence with us. The story involves a mother who had agreed to drive her son's car from Michigan to California as a part of his move there. It was Christmas time, so the plan called for her to drive the car out, for her husband to fly to California for the holiday, and then for the two of them to fly home from California to Michigan together. But something unfortunate happened the day before the mom was to drive out. She fell and broke her left wrist and had to get a cast from her wrist to her elbow. Despite this, however, she decided to go along with the trip anyway, and so early the next day she headed out. Well, about the fourth day out, she felt tired at one point, so she pulled off the road for a short nap. After an hour or two, she woke up and realized she was hungry, and so she drove to a restaurant for some food. As she exited the restaurant after eating, however, things got interesting. A man approached her and asked her if she was driving a Ford Explorer with Michigan plates and whether she had pulled off the road somewhere earlier. The woman was understandably apprehensive about being questioned by a stranger, but the man assured her that he meant no harm. And so she answered his questions, and the man asked her to wait for a second while he made a phone call. And then he promised to explain what was going on. Well, after a few minutes, he returned. And when he did, he proceeded to tell the woman the most incredible story. This man told this woman that she had had truck drivers following her, looking after her, ever since she had left Michigan. You see, one of them had noticed this little white-haired lady with a cast on her left arm driving stick shift across the country, and he grew concerned. And so he radioed some other drivers about it. Well, a group of them decided to take it upon themselves to watch over this woman. Unbeknownst to her, they carefully tracked her to the motels she stayed each evening. A little scary, I know, but fortunately they had good intentions. Each morning, another truck driver would pick up her trail and shadow her progress. If a trucker had to exit, he would radio another truck driver to take his place, and they did this for 3 straight days. Well, when she pulled off for that nap, they had lost track of her and were about to alert the state police. But before they did that, one of them spotted her car at the restaurant, and the phone call the man had made was to alert the rest of the drivers that everything was okay. As the woman heard the story, she was understandably amazed. Until that moment, she had been totally unaware that across all the miles, someone was looking after her day and night. She had no idea that somebody cared enough about her to initiate such a protection plan. Isn't that a cute story? And I love that story because it gives an image of what we have with God. Men and women, everywhere we go, we have the truck driver of the universe watching out for us. He's with us. And in fact, that's one of the things I want to become more aware of in this year. I want to become more aware of God's presence with me wherever I go and become more ready to turn to him whenever I need him. God's with us. He's in charge and he's with us. And it's when you put these two truths together that the third truth naturally follows. Because if God's in charge and God's with us, do you know what that means? It means then we have nothing to fear. There's nothing that we have to fear. And that's what God says to Joshua, verse 6 here. God says this. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And you see the first four words there, be strong and courageous. And those words are repeated two more times in this passage. You see it in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. God says at the beginning of verse 7. And then you see it in verse 9. And listen to this verse. This is a verse for 2022. Listen to what God says. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There's nothing to fear because he's in charge and he's with us. And more than anything, I think this is the perspective that should mark God's people in this new year. You know, probably the primary attitude of people in these past 2 years has been an attitude of fear, right? I've never seen our world gripped by more fear than I have in the past 24 months. And listen, I get it. Fear is rooted in uncertainty. Fear is rooted in not knowing what's around the corner. And the world out there, they don't know what's around the corner. So of course they're fearful. But you and me, we're different. We know what's around the corner. We read it. It's told to us in this book. Now, we don't know the exact details of every single day in the same way that Joshua and the Israelites didn't know the ins and outs of every single battle that they were going to face. But in the same way that Joshua and Israelites know the end result, that they will get the land, so we know the end result. God's going to return. Satan's going to be done away with. And there's nothing that can stop that. There's nothing that can thwart that. So what in the world do we have to fear? God's in charge. He's with us. And so we don't have to fear anything. And listen, friends, I know you know this. Okay, I mean, what I'm saying here today is not anything revolutionary. I know these are basic truths, but I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would admit that we do forget these from time to time. Or at the very least, we don't always live as though these three truths are true. So the question is, right, how do we hold on to these? How do we really live by these? Well, we need to do the same thing that God tells Joshua to do. Verse 7. God says this, he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And the key verse there is verse 8. Keep this book of the law. And understand, the book of the law referred to the first five books of the Bible, which at that time were kind of the only books that had been written up until that point. So if God were saying this today, he would say, keep the Bible. Keep my word on your lips. Keep my word always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And I find what God says to Joshua here so telling. You know, among other things, what God is doing with Joshua here is he's commissioning him to be the commander in chief. He's commissioning him to be the leader of the Israelite army. But notice, God doesn't once tell Joshua how to lead an army. He doesn't once tell Joshua how to fight a battle. Why? Because as the rest of the book of Joshua will make clear, it's God who fights the battles. All Joshua has to do is know and obey the word of God. Then he'll be prosperous. Then he'll be successful. And the same is true for us. Brothers and sisters, the biggest attack that is happening in our world right now is not any illness. No, the biggest attack that is happening in our world right now is an attack on truth. Right now, we are facing an all-out assault on the truth. And this makes sense, because as Jesus himself says, Satan is the father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning, and so his favorite target is the truth. And he is filling this world with lies right now. And that's why this book right here is more important than it's ever been, because this is where we know the truth is. And that's why we have to know this book better than we ever have before. That's why in this first message of 2022, I am not going to ask you what your New Year's resolution is. I'm going to give you one, okay? And that is this. Some of you may have already received an email on this, but if you didn't, it's okay. I'm going to tell you right now. We're kind of launching a new initiative this year at 2022 at Friends Church. And that is, as a church, we want to read through the Bible in 1 year. We're going through either a website or an app. We'll put the website on the screen. It's called the Bible in 1 Year. There's also an app on your phone. It's called the same thing. It's called the Bible in 1 Year. It looks like this. And what this website does, or what this app does, is it divides the Bible into 365 daily chunks. There's a little bit from the Old Testament, there's a little bit from the New Testament, and then there's some other passages to read every single day. It takes about 20 minutes a day. And in addition to that, there's also some explanatory information on what you just read, and then there's also some devotionals that go along with it too. And we're asking everybody to commit 20 minutes a day. That's all it takes, to commit 20 minutes a day in 2022 to reading God's word. Because you know what? This is the anchor for our time, brothers and sisters. And I can't imagine what God will do in and through us if we take this seriously. So I would implore you, if you haven't already, BibleInOneYear.org, or get the Bible in 1 Year app and start reading it, because it will have an impact on your year. This is how you get these truths within you. You know, as I said, men and women, I have no idea what this year is going to bring. But what I do know is this: as we stay anchored to the Word of God, as we rely on one another, because we're here for one another, and as we rely on God through prayer, I know there is nothing that we cannot face, and there is nothing that we cannot overcome. And that's why, as we close here today, I've written a prayer that I want to pray over all of us as we begin this new year. And so I would ask you right now, would you stand with me? And if you're comfortable doing this, as I've asked you to do before, if you could even put your hands out in front of you as just a posture of receiving in this time. And let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, we come to you in this new year, uncertain of what lay in store. The past few years have been tough, we admit, with surprises behind every door. Will this be the year we get some relief? Will your mercy grant us reprieve? Or will this be the year where things get worse, more pain and hardship to receive? We do not know the answer, Lord. We can't know your plan with precision. But we do know that no matter what we face, you have purpose in every decision. You're moving this world towards a goal that has your glory as the aim. You're leading people on a path that results in you receiving more fame. And although that path at times, we confess, can get a little scary, no matter what, there are truths we know that in our hearts we can always carry. First, you're sovereign, you're in charge. Nothing can thwart your plan. Second, you're with us wherever we go. You walk with us hand in hand. And third, because of that, we can know we never have to fear. Because no matter what we have to face, we know you're always here. So this year, our prayer is simple, but it's important all the same. Remind us of your presence with us. In our heart, keep your spirit aflame. Keep us anchored in your truth and guide us by your word. Help us live for you alone, our passions for you stirred. And when we go to bed each night, whether full of life or tried, let us know that you've been with us. You've never left our side. And when we wake each morning, ready to face a brand new day, may we pause and praise you always. May we never cease to say that we love you and we thank you. You're with us every hour. We love you and we thank you, our defense and our strong tower. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And at the risk of saying it again, God, how we love you and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen.